this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee dated March 7, 2011. Getting started here at 6:36 in the evening. The first order of business for this evening will be the review and approval of minutes from the February 21st, 2011 meeting. Would you please take a moment, take a look, and let me know if they need your approval.
Okay, here.
Yep, you said it was fine. Good with that then, Bob?
Yep.
Okay, then the next order of business this evening is the Forest Glen parking lot project. As you know, this was actually included in the summer of 2010 summer capital projects. That's what the money was originally budgeted for. We have talked about this several times over the past several months, going back and forth between our engineers and the village in terms of stormwater needs and reviews. Included in your packet are some preliminary cost estimates. It also has a letter from Bill McGurr to the village itself saying that we have now met all stormwater implications for this project. Just to give you a little background, I believe it was in 97 when Forest Glen was originally built. There was about 25,000 cubic feet of underground stormwater detention provided in tubes that run on the back and along the sides of the building. We have not had to address any stormwater issues at Forest Glen because of that. I guess it was about 25,000 feet. This project now takes us within, I believe, 100 cubic feet of maximum volume that's currently in that system. So they have determined, and just recently determined, that I believe it was dated February 21st, that we have met all their stormwater needs and that this project can move forward as we have requested that we be allowed to do so. We've had information provided. Always showed some permeable pavers that were going to be included. We gave you a lot of information over several different months. Regarding a spreadsheet here, there are some very preliminary cost estimates included in this, and that includes demolition, excavation, utility construction, the site work. We are going to actually have to go in and install some PVC piping, or actually some underground piping. I believe it's 8 inches in diameter, and that will take any excess retained water from that system into the existing stormwater that sits in the middle of the parking lot. So our next process would be to go out and secure competitive pricing on this and then bring back a recommendation to the board.
As I recall, you went out and checked some other similar projects, and everything that you saw was appropriate, and it's a good system.
We visited, I've probably seen three or four different spots. Morton Arboretum has something of this nature, but not exactly like this. You know, we explored permeable pavers, not pervious surfaces like concrete or paving. This was the system that, and matter of fact, this was a system that the village came back and thought would be the best way to follow through with this. It'll include all retaining wall and 6 or 7 parking spaces in this area that basically has been a problem for a number of years. The building has asked us to address it for the past couple of years, and now it's finally coming to the point. After many months of stormwater conversations, it looks like we're ready to move forward with this.
Bill McGurr's a field engineer, so I'm happy with that.
He's an institution in this area.
Yeah. Now,
who is that?
Bill McGurr.
Is this going to be bid out through FGM?
That's something I need to sit down and probably decide shortly. If I go out and actually bid, I'm going to have to have FGM prepare bid documents, which are going to cost us another X number of thousands of dollars. We do have some schematic designs that are already created, and what I was thinking is that we would internally handle this project ourselves, go out and get competitive pricing, see where those results come back, and then make a recommendation to the board.
Okay.
Because my thinking is, just by FGM preparing bid docs, we're talking probably $3,500, another $5,000, and I don't want to incur any additional costs.
Okay, so we have documents.
There have been documents prepared in the form of a packet,
okay.
And we work with a local landscaper that we've done business with for years, and then we would call in other landscaping experts that would have a good understanding of the necessities of this project, and then the director of buildings and grounds and myself would handle this project internally.
Now, do we have to do an open bid because of the size of the project?
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, is how pricing comes back.
Okay.
If it's an open bid, I believe we would need to go to bid if it comes back at something greater than $25,000. So they've estimated it has a chance, but considering we're going to be doing the work internally, we might get by without having to go beyond it. But in either case, I wouldn't present anything without bringing you a recommendation that included competitive pricing.
Okay.
Maybe Erickson could change the title of the school to Horse Glen instead of Ben Franklin. Looks like they probably just used the old hammer. I didn't catch it either until just now.
Okay, and then the next order of business this evening is to talk about the food service program here with the district. In particular, what we have in front of us here are some very preliminary documents that we just received that were updated by the attorneys representing Marquardt School District, and these documents were sent out early this morning for our attorney's review. I'm sure they'll be getting back to us shortly. These are just preliminary documents. We wanted to let you know that we are working towards resolving food service for next year. We would like to form a cooperative or be a member of a cooperative that Marquardt District 15 heads up, and they would be providing food services to the students in our schools. Now, Bob, you had a couple of comments that came in late last week, and in particular, you were concerned about the elementary school rollout and so forth and its involvement with the PTA.
Mm-hmm.
Under document A here, as I've just sort of written in, document A deals specifically with Hadley and specifically with Hadley for just next year, where they will be providing hot lunch services according to the National School Lunch Program to just Hadley School, and then they will be serving the cold lunches, the sack lunches that are provided to our elementary schools on a free lunch program as an as-needed basis, and I believe we have well over 400 kids a day that receive those sack lunches. And if you were to look at document B here, document B is the agreement that would be put in place for the following school year, which would include Hadley, and then a rollout of a hot meal program at all of the elementary schools. It would be enrolled in a national school lunch program, which would give us an additional funding source that we have not had previously. And we think at this point, at this juncture, it's a good opportunity to provide services to our kids, hot meals daily, as well as open up a possible additional revenue stream to the district that we have not been a member of previously. And what if you just told me to make a point? I forgot which point to make.
We met with
the reduced. By moving to a national school lunch program, even next year with just Hadley, we would be able to open up a reduced meal price to students that qualify for that income category that we have not been able to offer before. So it actually allows, we've only been able to offer free.
And all of the we would do the administration of the program, but the requirements of the national school lunch program is there are a lot of details, and Marquardt would handle those. So we'd have an assigned administrative personnel here, but a lot of the work to meet the regulations would not be work we would be doing. It would be work that Marquardt would be doing, which is great because we don't have that level of expertise here.
And then the comment that I did want to make, you have not seen any cost projection put together for this particular recommendation, and those we will plan on putting on the next finance committee for initial review. So that would give us a cost of what the current program is costing us with our current food service provider, and then what our expected cost would be under this new program.
That's exactly the question that I was going to ask you. You got it right on the money. I know it's a little bit comparing apples to oranges, because some of this is new stuff that we're currently not doing.
Correct.
That's correct.
So you only have to kind of strip some of that away to be able to compare what we currently do and what the projection would be just on the programs that we're currently running.
Right.
Right. And that's something that will occur because we're not currently associated with the National School Lunch Program. There are certain guidelines that we'll need to adhere to, and that'll be our plan accordingly.
And we can do some projected savings for the elementary program. Here's what it's going to cost us, and here was what we would think we would be looking at financially over the course of the years. But it wouldn't be a comparison in that case. It would simply be a projection.
I mean, really, what Bob's talking about, and I think that's real good to be able to say, this is currently what we're spending, this is what we think we're spending, same, based on the just those specific programs. I think that's valuable to know.
Yeah.
And we'll bring that to the next meeting.
Good. We talked about strategizing for next meeting and what we'll be bringing for your review, and that will be one of the top items that we'll take a look at first thing.
Kudos to you guys for putting this together. And I think potentially this is a real windfall for the district. So.
And something we haven't been able to do forever, I guess.
Yeah.
We haven't sent this off to our attorney, so you're getting first look at it. So if there are any questions that you have that we can include into them, that would be great, in the next several days.
I'll read through this and find out.
Yeah.
It's
pretty comprehensive. Phyllis had some areas of notation in our meeting with them on Friday. They adjusted the language of the agreement to meet her requests based on what she already knows about the food service and things that we do. So I think they're very amenable to making sure that this is something that works for us as well as works for them.
And this is the template for them, because
this is their second intergovernmental agreement. They have been doing this with District 16 for I think the past 3 years, maybe.
Okay. They're happy with everything they've done.
Yeah. And of course, they don't want to be in the business of food service. I mean, that's not what they just feel that they can provide us with a partnership that would allow us both to access their kitchen and their facilities and create great meals for kids.
They must have a lot of excess capacity in their kitchen.
They built a kitchen last year or the year before in anticipation of being able to go out and probably form some sort of consortium where they would provide services to other local school districts. But they did that with that idea in mind.
But we're going to be preparing all the Hadley stuff, still being prepared in Hadley.
Right.
So it's only the elementaries that are going, coming from somewhere else.
Correct.
Except the sack launches are going to be made at Hadley.
For the first year.
Okay.
Second year, then
everything
the Hadley kitchen will remain in effect, and then the Marquardt will be providing hot meals rolled into our elementary school building.
Right.
And there's a whole process we're going to have to bring everyone on board in terms of how we currently operate. They're going to need meal counts by a certain time of the day, and it seems like a very nice program and something certainly beneficial towards our student community.
And what was the story with PTAs?
Oh, you had asked me if we had discussed this with the PTAs yet. No, this hasn't gone any further really than this committee at this point in time. That's certainly something that we should take a look at.
We've just shared it with our principals.
Yeah, the principals are aware of it.
Okay. But while it doesn't sound like next year would affect any of the elementary schools.
No, it wouldn't. And, we'll work with the PTA on I don't believe any of them use it as a fundraiser. I actually think it was a way of offering the kids something to order at school, you know, for most of the schools.
Yeah, I talked with Lee Lincoln, mm-hmm. Lee Fruit, and it isn't a fundraiser for them now. I think it used to kind of be a fundraiser, mm-hmm. but it's really not a winner or loser. In fact,
right.
She said it might be a little bit of a loser this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a lot of work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably would love to be able to know that there's going to be a pizza day and that they don't have to.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other questions I had. Would kids be able, if they're on the program, are they on it 5 days a week,
no,
or
no.
Is there a one-day option, two-day option?
It's an option.
It could be as free-flowing as at the elementary level, what the teacher will do after they take attendance, like, okay, who's buying lunch? Child raises a hand, they take a count, and they walk, and that's it.
Okay.
Now, it'll be cashless, like Padley, so parents will have access to an online payment system, so they can put money on account.
Will it be like a debit card, so my kid can raise his hand if he doesn't like what I pack for?
Basically,
he could, though.
We've had parents question us on that before.
It, you know, it could be something like that, but again, the parents would have online access. See what their child was, which meals they did buy and
mm-hmm.
eat.
And in that you're surprisingly out of money sooner than you thought.
Yeah,
it would
right.
be in your account.
Right. Where did
but
your food go
you know,
at that point?
But yeah, you don't sign up for X amount of meals for the year. It's very free flowing
okay.
in that respect. We would, and they're very amenable to that. There's no preconceived, they know what they're going to probably make for at a certain school based on our. You know, enrollments and things.
And is the menu laid out ahead of time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a month
so
at a time.
All right.
So the parents will get
okay.
whole month's menu ahead of time so they can
sort of
decide, they can sit down with their students at that time and say, okay, do you want to have this today? What do you want? You know, so you can actually plan out what
right.
you have to do.
The biggest change is really, other than offering a hot lunch to our elementary schools, which will be a huge change and something we've not been able to do, but at Hadley, the biggest change will be that you have the lunch program requires that you cannot purchase a la carte, so you want a piece of pizza, you also have to have fruit
and a milk,
mm-hmm. you know, so you have to take the full healthy lunch.
Yeah, there's like four to five food groups that need to be included in that basic selection. You take one, you have to take them all.
Uh-huh.
And they only do like baked fries, no french fries.
Right.
But that's all in alignment with the new national regulations for food. So really, Marquardt's been a little bit ahead of the game mm-hmm. in getting their menus aligned with what is now required.
And there's all the regulations starting to
Any other comments on food service then?
So the next time you see it, we'll just go through
mm-hmm.
The box.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you would ask for our approval.
That's, we would be looking for your approval to move this forward for the board for discussion and action.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job.
Okay, well, the next order on the business on the agenda this evening, and it's just under other. And
well, can we talk about next Monday a little bit?
Sure.
Well, what?
The
Master Facility
Conversation.
Is there, you know, I don't have anything that I right now would say I'm preparing to do, or but if you would like me to do that, or if you'd like to talk about how you'd like to see that agenda and how you'd like to have that conversation facilitated, this might be a chance to do that.
Well, I'm wondering what, you know, on our short-term recommendations, exactly what the board wants to
mm-hmm.
tackle out of those first,
mm-hmm.
whether they want to talk about large, you know, parcel acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
We should review the original presentation. And just
yeah, that's a good point. We didn't really. So,
the original presentation that you
yeah
the power
yeah.
Slides.
Yeah.
The report and the presentation. If there's questions, specific questions about that.
And if there are no questions, because really I don't think anybody really asked any questions after that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably just re. just we just refresh it and say, is there any other questions before we go to short-term goals? But I think that's the next steps.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to see in terms of the direction of the conversation? Do you want me to facilitate the conversation in any way? Do you want it to be just stay back and don't say a word and let the board talk, or do you have any?
I guess I like the idea of the facilitation, and I think the ultimate goal is we kind of come to some sort of consensus.
Well, we've got two meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind a free-flowing discussion so long as we can identify some topics that we absolutely want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's not much review to do of the report or the presentation or the options, then I think we would want to move forward with the short-term recommendations we presented. And does the board want to go ahead with any of those? And what do those need to look like?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Do you, if I or you sense you're getting deadlocked on a topic, the topic I would expect could do that would be land acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to intervene, or do you want me to just let
No, sure.
I would absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have if there's a split board.
It seems like the past conversations we've had about MFP just kind of get to a point. You can't get any further, so
mm-hmm.
I think
we've got a lot of the answers. We've got a lot of information. It was really here's B, I think. And we need to explore those two options.
Do you want to do the pros and cons type thing?
Yeah, I mean, are we talking about coming to a stopping point on specific parcels? Because I think we've still got this first step to do of, this is my opinion, obviously, first step to do of looking at the map, and I was doing this after our last mm-hmm. meeting. I just went in there, and I was looking at the
mm-hmm.
the zoning map, more or less, and just looking at, all right, how many actual possibilities are there? I mean, I think that's a step that someone with, you know, a little bit more background in real estate than I has to do. And you know, just wondering what's out there, what are the possibilities.
Okay.
And then we'd also have to talk, you know, along with that as far as the board is, you know, well, what, there's large parcels on the map. The question is, what's there now, and is it really something we would think right. about as going after an existing, you know, large parcel that maybe has a functioning business on it, and, you know, take tax dollars off the rolls and things like that. You know, that's probably a discussion right. we'd want to have. And maybe what we're skirting around here is what are the
criteria?
What are the criteria for looking at large parcels and saying that's a not. That's a no-go.
If we have criteria, we can eliminate certain.
I think that's just looking on the map,
there's not a lot out there.
And it doesn't make sense to just cut through a whole subdivision.
Right. I mean, you can't. It's really got to be.
That's costly for prohibitive.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's also the discussion that we had a long time ago about small parcels adjacent to existing buildings. And it seemed like we had a consensus that we at least want to keep our eyes open on it. I don't know if we ever finished the conversation about should we target specific, you know, Churchill or you know.
I thought we did. I thought the conclusion was we would look at them on a one-off basis
as
things come up.
But we didn't talk about a specific policy of saying we're going to go knock on doors and maybe talk about rights of first refusal and things like that.
Okay.
And that's probably a conversation
That would be a good. Are we going
to? Maybe that's something to hold since it's not, just for a little bit, since it's not in your short next steps.
Right.
You have the parcel. What about the funding piece? Is that a part of the parcel conversation they have to have first.
Oh, for acquisitions, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where it should come from.
I mean, I don't know if you want to put small parcels in and then the funding, or you want to do funding and then...
Probably funding
first. I think
we should
start with funding first.
Okay.
It's applicable to both.
Yeah.
I would also assume, you know, since Churchill was, not Churchill, Spalding is still on the, mm-hmm. on the radar, maybe we do another
round of...
Round, you know, tell people to bring the FGM presentation on that. And you know, maybe we get consensus on that. Is this a viable option or not? And if we get consensus one way or the other, but
okay. Are there any other materials you'd want board members to bring from the original study, or are we okay just with the most recent on Spalding, since we eliminated, at least for the immediate discussion, all of that other work? You know, obviously additions, those kinds of things would come back up, but I think that's really more part of the longer-term solution.
I don't think it makes sense to do that. As a matter of fact, I think...
It would be derailing.
It would be derailing. I think we need to move forward. We've had discussions. We put the presentation together. We've eliminated these. No one has said, no, we disagree. You need to put that back on the table. I think we just need to move forward.
Okay.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. I don't think we need to get too much into the footprint details.
We've got the source document. Everyone's looked at it at the last meeting. Yeah, I don't see a reason.
So, to synthesize, mm-hmm. right now you would say review the report. We could put the PowerPoint up, you know, just see if people have any questions about that. Not get stuck in specific conversations because they'll come back later, probably. And then start to review the short-term steps with a loosely facilitated kind of approach to that. And we'd be looking at all the short-term, focusing first on the parcels and how to go about that, maybe developing some criteria, then looking at the funding source for a piece of property, talk about the small parcels, and somewhere we talked about pros and cons. So I don't know if pros and cons really has to do with Spalding versus acquisition.
I think the pros and cons go back to the short and long term.
Just the recommendations. Pros and cons are the recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, eventually there may have to be pros and cons, Spalding versus large right. parcel of land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Spalding is on. Do you want to do Spalding before you do small parcels of land? Or do you want to do Spalding?
Let's do Spalding first. I mean, everybody.
Spalding first?
Because I think we...
If we're just talking about a confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where people are.
And we're not deciding.
Right.
Okay. Spalding first.
Let's test some temperatures.
Okay. Large parcel.
And then since we have... We've got some real good visual aids. It should be pretty easy to facilitate some conversation.
Okay, so it will go Spalding. We'll review of the whole thing, then Spalding, then large parcel, then funding source, then small parcels.
Mm-hmm. Where did pros and cons go?
Well, pros and cons are right as the review, part of the review report.
Okay, that's right. Okay, got it.
And I think pros and cons could easily come up under any of these.
Right.
So pros and cons just may be, an approach we use, but there are some mm-hmm. others. If you know, and I may come prepared for just some other activities if they're not, we need them.
Okay.
But otherwise, I won't. I'll pretty much stay out of it and just move the conversation along.
I have a question. Since the concept has been in finance, does it remain in finance? Do we bring it back to the full board? How does that
full board from here on out?
Okay, so the workshop actually launches this back in the hands of the yeah. full board.
Right.
Okay. I think it would be now. It would be good to make that
articulate that.
Yeah, because I think the other board members need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no longer just finance.
Okay.
In that light, do we want to discuss the ideas we've talked about right here and later tonight in the regular board meeting about what we were thinking about agenda items?
Sure. Well, you could do it as a report out from finance.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the second, as for the second date in April.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of our recommendations was the demographic study update.
Try and talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get the temperature on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's got to be discussion around the process for deciding which of the three options.
Mm-hmm.
The roadmap of making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Community involvement and at what point to, et cetera. Further information.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and facilitation of that. I mean, depending on what is decided for next steps conversation and how large that is and whether it's an engagement process or not, we'd probably have to talk about what kind of facilitation of that do you want. Good. I did invite the board candidates to both meetings.
Okay.
Indicated that at the April 11th meeting, we would, you know, invite discussion from the successful candidates, depending on how that plays out. Budget development. Do you want to talk a little bit about budget development and when you're planning on bringing in?
Sure. We've already put together a very preliminary budget for the for next fiscal year. Just some general highlights. You know, it's kind of a rolled process that we use. We actually go in and use our Skyward system. We rolled salaries 4%. We held some supplies and materials, purchase services and so forth at 3%. Capital projects were held at about this year's levels. Other areas of concern, obviously, is a special ed tuition. It always seems to be a wild card that we never really have a good handle on. We made a very preliminary. They asked me to appear at the PTA a couple of weeks ago, and I had a real rough sketch in terms of what revenues and expenditures would look like. Given current funding items with the state, we're at about an $800,000, $900,000 surplus, but we've also talked about what's going on with the state right now. Couple of different scenarios that that we're hearing out there through our political organization is that we have received all of the, well, as of December, we had received all of 2010's mandated categorical payments. We may, between now and the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, we may receive one fiscal 2011 mandated categorical payment, which is around, let's just call it a round number of $500,000. Long term, they're saying that in 2012, we can expect a balance for the three payments that they missed this year in fiscal year 2012, but not to expect any fiscal 2012 payments in 2012. Everything would be accrued from a previous year. In other words, mandated categoricals next year could go away. We have heard that general state aid so far is a priority for the state, and that it will continue and maintain to be a priority.
However, we've also heard comments, or not comments, but Phyllis and I made some calculations late last year that given a certain set of financial circumstances, we might lose part of our general state aid, or all of it, depending upon how certain factors are used in making that calculation. So there's a lot of flux out there. I don't think, you know, I read the newspapers, just as I'm sure everyone else does every day. We hear a lot of different things coming from our professional organizations, but basically none of it is very, very, very helpful or very helpful for the next couple of years. The income tax that was just recently increased. So far, we're not hearing anything regarding that going towards education, but rather to pay off the existing obligations that the state has. So right now, we're not anticipating any new sources of state revenue. Or there might be a reduction in state revenue.
Which will really hit us in FY13.
Yeah.
Because we'll still be making up.
Still be right. Making up through 2011, as we have a little bit this year.
Crazy basis, but.
In 2012, I don't believe they're ever going to make us whole in 2011. And we don't see the way that they're going to, a way that they'll make us whole on mandated categoricals in 2012. So 2013, there's going to be implications. But 2013 is the year that things may happen. So, as I said, we've put together a very preliminary budget. I would say that we'd be looking at probably a budget presentation the first week of April for the Finance Committee. And what I would consider doing is giving you a baseline budget. Mm-hmm. And then one or two scenarios. General terms, as I've done it before, with major categories of revenue, major categories of expenditures, and then some scenarios based upon those revenue assumptions. And then we may have to make some expenditure assumptions based upon those revenues, projected revenues. So that's the way that I would envision this rolling out with a preliminary budget that first meeting in April.
Okay.
Any questions? Any information you'd like to see included in that, those estimates or initial presentation?
I think just do the same kind of template that you did last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be my intent, to sort of maintain that template, because everyone's familiar with it. It has worked out well for us previously. And then we're just, you know, we'll give you an initial budget in April. I'm sure we're going to talk about it in May. I know we'll talk about it in June. And we'll have to react to it in August. So we'll have ongoing conversations over the next 4 to 5 months in terms of our projections of revenues and expenditures and how we may have to react to that.
Okay.
Since we've got a little bit of time, I got in the mail, I'm sure you did too, Drew,
yeah.
A conference notice.
This one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
You brought it in.
I brought it in. It's very interesting.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff in there. I didn't know if we were, I was going to ask Ann or Bob if we were planning on sending anybody to that. Because there's several 21st century learning environment applicable.
Yeah. It was broken down nicely, you know, between, there's the green concept. Mm-hmm. There's
like a green track. There's a 21st century track type of thing. So I don't know if you guys got that, if it was just board members.
We probably did. I don't remember seeing it, but then I get a lot of things that I lost very quickly.
Today.
Oh, today?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's
what we're
going
to. I thought it was kind of interesting, though.
There were some interesting sessions.
Oh, yeah. If board members would be interested in going?
Yeah, I was, well, if they are, yeah, you know, it's midweek, April 12th.
Through the 14th.
Yeah, doesn't really hit spring break, unfortunately.
No, of course not.
But I didn't know if you guys were planning on sending anybody.
Well, we'll have to take a look at this. Yeah, this would be a really good thing.
Where is it at?
It's at Navy Pier.
Yeah. Oh, oh.
It's,
yeah.
It's, they have, awesome. They host it every year. In fact, Amy Yurko from Brain State presented one here.
Oh. Maybe she's presenting again.
So
here, I'll give this back to you. But
okay.
You said we got a stack of these, so
yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
I'll put something in the Thursday letter.
I think all the board members got another mailing that came here.
Oh, okay. So we have plenty of brochures.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Very
important. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up, both of you.
Okay. That's it. Anything else?
We could talk about complex text. It's fascinating.
Wasn't that good?
That was a fascinating. I read it twice. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting.
Well, it provides the balance.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have both in your curriculum and in the way you set up your classes. Because
do you think that we do that? Do you think we do that balance?
Well, I think we're trying to move towards the more digital world, and we probably, you know, we're more likely to do the latter, which is taking the time for complex text,
right,
and trying to balance that between kids' need for really fast response, research, the ability to do things, multitask, and then the ability to grapple with really complex material and do what it takes to deepen your understanding of that. So you have to have both, you know.
Yeah.
It's another reason that conference would allow us to, you know, begin to look at those two, the juxtaposition of the two worlds.
Okay, got it.
So, an educational system in flux. May I turn the tape off?
Okay.
Are we done? Are we adjourned?
The table. Okay.